you love Marvel but are tired of hearing Cheeto-stained white guys talk about it?
Are you hoping to see the X-Men and Avengers face off?
Do you secretly want to be Jessica Jones or Daisy Johnson?
Or do you want to be with Valkyrie?
If so, you found your new favorite podcast. We're your hosts, Chris
and Amy, and we're here to give you the commentary you want, plus occasional interviews with some of Marvel's most brilliant creative minds.
We're Marvel, minus the mansplaining.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts and visit us at themarvelousmadams.com.
Madams, assemble.
Welcome to Bedknobs and Broomflicks, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. We also talk about heroic and just plain awesome animals as our fair familiars and witches in history. Sorry, this show will include spoilers. You have been warned. My name is Jane, the girl who grew up among the little folk.
I could see that.
My name is Glinda.
She's a giant little folk.
Not really.
My name is Linda, but as usual, you can call me the cheese. And I come from two very long, powerful lines of terrible drivers. We're all terrible drivers because we do not yield.
That's it. Shine it down. Good night, everybody.
We're done.
Oh, that was awful. I was thinking about what I just said. I was like, yeah, actually, I am the tallest one in my family. That's kind of strange. And then you go in with that joke. I'm like, I hate you so much right now. My mind was drifting off into different places and you just make that joke. And I'm like, oh, that's awful.
It's okay. I kind of hate myself too.
You should. You should.
Am I proud of it? No.
Are you holding on to it? Yes. Stupidly enough, yes.
And I've got to apologize ahead of time for the ASMR because, seriously, I swear, I don't even think it was like 10 minutes before we agreed to meet. All of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, my body was like, oh, yeah, fuck you, Linda.
What? Are we referring to your sinuses or is there something
yes,
else going on?
Yes,
okay, good. I was like, wait, is there something else happening?
I started sniffling. My nose is really itchy, allergy itchy. And I started sneezing just totally out of the blue. I'm like, cool. Thank you, body. It's like, yeah, fuck you.
It's like, look, you're sitting down. Everything seems chill. Now unleash.
Yeah. It's like, are you really ready to record, Linda? You really? Really? Yeah, I think I'm... Oh, man. I'll say it again. Carlos, a lucky, lucky man.
I know. Really lucky. You're one sexy ass bitch.
Sexy beast.
Anyways. Oh, so we have done it. We have read the book cover to cover. We have made notes. Well, some of us have made notes. Others have just highlighted passages and pulled up the Wikipedia because, goddamn, if she stopped to write notes, she would never finish the book. And she would get really annoyed trying to read the book because the book is actually really good, but stopping is a big pain in the ass to her. Hi, yeah. I'm talking about me.
Anyways, well, we to be have fair, finished- most of my notes were just actually highlights. And every now and then I'd throw something in, but I mean, I'm not like the kids these days and typing on my iPad is just takes too damn long.
Yeah. I barely highlight anything. I just remember all the highlights where I remember my thoughts in the back of my head going like,
Ah, god damn it, was the major one that came up a couple times reading this. Anyways, we have finished reading Kingdom of Ash, or as Linda referred to it as, this fucking tome? And I was like, yeah, it's that big.
Not so, to be confused with Throne of Our Kingdom of Ass. That's which a different episode.
Yes, the first ever produced Broomflix porn parody.
Oh my.
Anyways, yes. So we would try to figure out how to cover this because it is ginormous. And the that left me in the fetal position thinking about covering this is if we tried to go in order of the story, that there's a lot of character perspectives that happen to this. So because if you recall at the end of not the last book, because that was technically the novellas, and also, but if you recall, or and also the Kaol stuff, but if you recall, yeah, the Kaol
stuff.
We
made it through. We survived.
That was our review. We made it through. But if you remember, Aelin had been taken away by Maeve, and Rowan has gone on, I will find my wife. And Aiden was going to be pimped out to Lysandra to make babies. And yeah, it was just and we'd stopped talking to Locum because he was responsible for Aelin being taken away. And of course, Kaol got married and is all happy now and can walk as long as his wife is able-bodied. That comes up in one of my thoughts later. So that's where we left off. So all these and of course, Amanda and Dorian have gone off as well to try to rally the other witches, the lost Crochan tribe.
And Nezrin's there too.
And Nezrin's there too. Oh yes, and all the secondary characters from the country that's totally not supposed to be India, but is trying to represent India. Let's be fair on how far east we went in that story. But
yeah, I was going through my highlights and I was like, oh fuck, right, Nezrin's a character. Because I wrote down like all the characters and like who they're paired off with, and then I was like, fuck, I forgot Nezrin.
Yes, Nezrin and Kashan are paired off and nothing bad happens, so they're all good. That is one of the spoilers. Nothing bad happens to them. They're good. Anyways.
Although I do have something to say about them later. Well, at least Nezrin. Oh. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot to say about them. I'm just... Oh, yeah. That's going to be the first spoiler. But so when we were talking about this, I came up with the genius idea that we should cover the characters' separate stories until they start to meet up, but only cover them within the first part. Because there's two parts, by the way, people. If you haven't read this, two parts. And since we didn't want to make this a 4 to 6 hour episode, there's going to be at least four parts is what I predicted in my head. We'll see how this looks once it's all recorded and everything, clearly. But so we're going to address three characters' story arcs within the first part today. Three major characters, which will be, as we talked about this pre-recording, Aelin, Rowan, and then Kaol storylines. And then the next episode, we'll continue on with Man and Dorian and Adrian and Lysandra's. And once they all meet up, we'll be able to combine them all into one, you know, Triforce, and we won't have to deal with that anymore. It takes a while to get there, so it's going to be a while. So that's kind of the plan. And I wanted to talk about Aelin first, only because, not only because she is the main character, she's the main protagonist, but also until she's free of Maeve, it's her scenes are both literal torture and torture to read at times. It is just the infliction of PTSD on somebody over and over and over again. Because she is, I mean, to sum up, she is basically being tortured. Her body is being broken by a horrible sadist known as Karen or Kiri.
I thought it was Karen.
Or Karen. I almost wanted to call him Karen or Carrion because
call
like
him I Karen.
Just Karen. Oh my god, sorry, Karens. I mean it's C A R I our end. It's
hashtag not all Karens.
Yeah, hashtag no. Not that Karen. It's a Karen with a C. Anyways, you know, he's just a pure sadist, and he's breaking her body just completely. And then these healers are coming in while she's completely passed out from the pain, and healing her, removing all of her scars, including as she realizes later, all of her tattoos and all the scars she ever earned from when she worked as an assassin to when she was beaten in the mines. They basically like gave her, she said, new skin. And at the same time, Maeve is breaking into her mind. And the goal that Maeve is trying to have, she's trying to find the word keys or weird keys. I don't know which one we agreed on last time. That's basically what it is. That's what Maeve is trying to do. And she's showing Aelin different, like, possible life she could have had, where she gets to grow up with her parents and she's with Rowan and everything's happy, and her aunt Maeve is there, and they're having like special like tea parties almost, and yay. Yeah, it's
rainbows and lollipops and
and the reason why I say it was torture to read is not just, I mean, the one thing I can say is that Miss Moss doesn't linger on Aelin being tortured. She doesn't linger on torture in general. Like, she explains what happens, but she doesn't like go into it. The only one she goes into is when Aelin's meant to kneel on the glass.
Glass, yeah.
But it's the psychological stuff. It's like I want Aelin to notice that Maeve is Volgh so badly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at that point where I'm just like, it's like torture, mental torture, physical torture, mental torture, physical torture. Would you just notice that this woman is not who she says she is? For the love of fucking God. Was kind of like my reaction towards that. And at the same time, we can't forget that Fenris is with her, stuck in his wolf form. And this is where it kind of...
doggy form.
Yes, this is where it at least kind of broke the monotony of the torture or mind fuckery that Aelin's going through, and everything that she's having to deal with is they have her and Fenris, who's a prisoner, have a secret communication where they blink, because he's stuck in his wolf form due to the blood oath he has with Maeve, and Aelin's stuck in the iron mask, so she can't speak, so they're blinking to each other to indicate, so they create like their own like kind of special code, and it's sweet, and it's also really hard to just read those parts as well. Again, this her parts until like she finally escapes, it was just like, please just either get out or notice that this woman is spitting black blood, please. Yes.
Although I can't help but wonder how she set this language up in the first place, but I guess that's one of those like don't think about it, just enjoy it. But yeah, one of them is I think they blink twice for I am with you, just to let the other one know like I'm here with you, and
is this real, because that's one of the things that Aelin's going through. She doesn't, because she's having all these waking dreams where like she's being tortured in her dreams, or she's having these pleasant dreams, and she's trying to figure out like what's real. So there's like blinks for that, and I think that maybe this is how I'm going to justify it in my mind, is so the scene right after she's meant to kneel on glass, and just after she, you know, takes up a piece, cuts Maeve, and it's right after Fenris's brother is made to kill himself for the dishonor that Fenris brought, and Fenris is back there like pulling the glass pieces out of her legs and everything, and he's in his human form, and so they can kind of talk to each other then. So I almost wonder if like there were moments kind of like that where they kind of establish something at some point, because the timeline they give is that she's been like this for 3 months. Like, she doesn't know that, but that's how long Rowan has been hunting for her. So Yeah. And I mean, there's some other interesting parts that obviously happen in there. The torture was just the hardest part to read. But there are moments where, like, she thinks she hears her mother's voice, like, telling her, you know, like, you know, you do not yield, you know, you fight back. And,
right,
you know, and that's when, and it's a really cool moment where she almost breaks through the iron coffin they put her in. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I actually got the quote where it was.
Oh, good, 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 good.
So she's in that iron coffin, and her mother appears next to her, and it says, "Evelyn's face didn't falter. You are my daughter. You were born of two mighty bloodlines. That strength flows through you, lives in you." Evelyn's face blazed with the fierceness of the women who had come before them, all the way back to the fairy queen whose eyes they both bore. You do not yield. And that seems to be like, it keeps coming up to the, like, you do not yield, we do not yield. And it's like one of the probably most famous lines, one of them from the book, a series. But it's really awful because Karen keeps torturing the shit out of her, breaking all of her bones in her arm, whatever, burning her.
Removing her flesh. It's, yeah, it's.
Yeah, flaying
the
her.
The only thing that they make a mention of is that Maeve made it so that he's not allowed to sexually assault her. Like, that's kind of like they allude to that. It's like, well, that's.
Yeah, it's like.
Good.
Yay.
Yay, Maeve is. Like. Maeve is me too.
Okay. I think you just found the name of this episode.
Maeve is me too.
Maeve is me too.
Question
Hashtag
mark.
Maeve too. Oh, god damn it. But Maeve and Karen have the healers, the royal healers, whatever, heal her completely after each session of torture. So like, they don't just, like, if he breaks every bone in her wrist, they don't just heal those bones. They've also healed all of her scars, her tattoos, everything.
Yeah, I think the one thing that they mention is that mating bond mark hasn't completely faded. But at one point, they even kind of take that away as well. So it's, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, like I said, it's one of those parts where when the chapter came up, I was like, can this be the chapter where she escapes, please?
Yes.
I don't care how it happens. Can it just be the one? Like, I don't care if, like, a magical fairy comes down. Could you please just let her go?
Yeah, and, like, meanwhile, like, to kind of go to what you were saying, it's like Maeve is like, hey, look at this beautiful world. Everything is okay. There's puppy dogs and butterflies and sunshine and rainbows. And oh, look who's here. It's everybody's favorite male. Oh, it's Rowan. And things are so awesome here. You have kids. Hey, tell me, where are those weird keys? Like, but then sometimes it's like, you know, he's not coming for you, right? Like, he knows where you're at. He just hasn't bothered to come for you, and he's not going to.
Yeah, it's like I said, it was just whenever they got back to her part, I was just like, please let this be the one. Please let this be the one. Because mm-hmm. Like, I was almost worried that entire first half of the book was that's like she would escape at the end of the half. I was like,
yes,
this cannot go on for a full half, please.
I know. Like, I just keep thinking,
you're
like,
causing me to have breakdowns.
Yes,
right now.
You're giving me PTSD. Like, stop.
It doesn't.
No.
Thankfully. Because, you know, at some point, and we'll get into this part as well, Maeve is tricked, and we'll explain the trick later. And brings Aelin and some of her host and, you know, Karen, of course, to a Doranel to look for something in particular, a potential rumored collar she can put on Aelin. Mm-hmm. And Aelin's freaking out about this, obviously.
Yeah, because she now knows about it and she's like, fuck, I'm just going to end up being like Dorian and she's going to have complete control over me. and my powers are going to be used to kill all the people I love and all the people who should have been my subjects. And I'm going to be turned into a weapon. And yeah, all the terrible things that she's worked so hard to prevent.
Yeah. And well, in the tent, she, Karen's about to use her fire against her, basically burn her.
Karen.
I know. Well, I keep looking at his name and I'm just like, I don't know how else it could be pronounced. So, it's like Karen.
I think again. It's Karen.
Karen.
Karen. I think that boy's name is Karen.
All I'm thinking right now is Carl.
Carl.
Carl. Karn. Anyways.
The walker's curl.
Anyway, so he's about to burn her and she escapes in a very Aelin first off, you know, freaks out because she realizes what's about to happen. And she actually fights back and manages with Fenris basically sacrificing himself because he attacks
Karen. At this point, she's like, either a miracle's going to happen, but a miracle's probably not going to happen. So I'm going to die and I'll prevent myself from being used as a weapon against everything I've fought for up to this point and I've endured the torture for. Hey, major bonus, I'm pretty okay with dying right now.
Yeah, but I mean, she does actually manage to escape with Fenris. Because Fenris, you've got to give him credit. He basically, he kind of breaks the blood oath that he has to Maeve by attacking Karn. And attacks Karn while Aelin runs away through the camp, attacking everybody who tries to grab her.
She uses blood that's fallen to, like, her own blood that's fallen to the ground. She uses her toe to write a rune in it. And, like, it's all part of her plan is that she gets Karn to attack her so she bleeds. And then she uses that, and I believe it breaks the chain that's holding her with the iron. And then, I have that, like, that Fenris fights past the tortures of breaking the blood oath to Maeve. And it's like torturous for him the whole way through, but up to this point Maeve has made his brother kill himself in front of him, and now he's thinking, now Karen's gonna kill Aelin too, fuck it, I'm done with this, like, this is how I'm gonna go. And so he fights against the tortures of that blood oath being broken, and in effect the blood oath is now fully broken, and he's
dying.
He's that's dying. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, because there's a lot of little things between that happening, but that was because what happens is Aelin is running, and she's, I think, as because at that same time Lorcan notices her.
Yes,
because Rowan and Loken and
Gavriel,
they're all there along with Elide in the back, are there to rescue her, and he sees her rugged. I can just imagine what this kind of looks like from Lorcan's. Huh? So there's this woman in this like horrible iron mask running through a crowd, basically killing people along the way. He's like, yeah.
I thought that was pretty goddamn metal. Like,
oh yeah.
Like a woman in an iron mask killing everybody on the way. Like, whoop, you're done.
Like, I can just imagine Lorcan going like, I want to stop her, but I don't want to die.
like, what does he do? Go up to her like, hey, how's it going? I'm seeing... Oh!
I haven't seen you since I betrayed. Oh.
Oh, that was my liver. I think I needed that. Oh. But, and this is
okay,
after-
I deserve that.
Oh, man. But this is after it's Rowan, Gavriel, Lorcan, and I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but I think it's just those guys, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I should remember going like, if there was another one, then they've done a really bad job of fleshing that one out.
And the other one.
it's just Elide, Gavriel, because I remember it's Adian's, you know, lost father or estranged father. And then you got Rowan and then you got Loken basically going, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You hate me. You don't love me. And that's fine because I don't like you either. Girls have cooties.
Lorcan goes really emo.
He goes so fucking emo. It's basically, you don't love me, but that's fine. I'm not hurt or anything.
And Elite's like, yeah, I don't. I don't. Fuck you. Yeah. I mean, I secretly do, but fuck you. You betrayed my cousin.
That didn't hurt
my
feelings or anything. I'm Lorcan.
But yeah, so they're all like, you know, trying to find her and
Should we switch back? Should we now, because we're Aelin's about to meet up with Rowan, should we go back to what Rowan and Lorcan and Gavriel and Elide are doing?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's basically what's happening is Rowan is hunting for his mate. I'm trying to make that sound as sexy as possible.
My mate.
Yes, and he's being aided by Elide.
My female!
He wants to be useful. Gavriel, because he's doing it for Adian, and Lorcan, because Elide. And, let's be fair. And they mentioned that Rowan's not asleep. He's barely eating and sleeping, and Gavriel's kind of trying to be dad, you know, even though he, from all descriptions, he looks about as old as all the rest of them. He's like going like, now sons, I'm probably the oldest one here and you need to eat something because you need
eat
to
your veggies.
Your yes, okay. And Gabrielle's also helping with Elide's limp so that she's not walking and pain, which is so sweet. And
because that's really pissing off Lorcan.
Yeah, because he's like, I would do that. She wouldn't let me. She'd just be angry if I did it.
There's actually two lines where it should have been his magic helping her, touching her skin. It's like, ooh, someone's jelly.
Gabriel's is trying to help. He's just like, well, first off, A, she's in pain, and B, her pain is going to slow us down. So, yeah.
And Lorcan's just like, well, I don't care anyway. So, God.
And Elise's basically like her badass self. She's just sort of like, yeah, okay, whatever. You again betrayed my cousins. So yeah. Fuck
off. Like, but I did it for you, baby.
We're just making Lorcan sound awful.
Well, he kind of is. Like, at least he in is. This part. I mean, he's just almost fucking insufferable at this part. And he's one of those characters in one of those stories where you're just like, just fucking talk to her. Like, you know, like, just be honest with herself and yourself. And it's fucking done, dude.
Like, have you tried communication?
But if you could ask him, he'd be like, why? Why bother?
She'd just ignore me anyway.
Which doesn't matter.
Yeah, because I don't care about her anymore.
Yeah. I'm an elf. God, I'm hot.
I'm an elf?
You said elf now.
Well, you got demoted, I guess.
Oh, I'm going to blame that on my sinuses.
Okay. Anyways, so, and this is also when Elide shows her craftiness and intelligence, because she's the one who comes with the, well, first you know, they capture a Volg prince and try to, you know, torture information out. And they're both having questions going like, okay, well, they're saying Doranel, he's saying over here. And Elite's like, well, you know, if it is this case, why don't we, you know, go into town and spread this rumor about this caller?
Yeah.
and I could totally do it because nobody would even think about like a weak little human talking about this because yeah. I'm really good at acting.
Yeah. And she ends up pretending to be like a heartbroken lost lover
of Karen.
Yeah,
Karen.
It's like, I need him. And it's like, and you got to imagine, because everything that they talk about, like from what Rowan describes him as, because he's talked about in some of the previous books, is that he's just a sadist. And
yeah,
he's awful to like everybody he meets, whether it's enemy or friend. And it's like, the way that it's like, it's almost like she didn't do her, nobody told her about how awful of a human, of a, you know, fae he is, that he probably would just have killed her when he was done with her. she's really trying to sell it, but at the same time, just like, he doesn't sound like the one who would just, you know, he sounds like the abusive ex who would end up murdering.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like, oh, but baby, that's not the case. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Or somebody who would just be like, eh, love them and dump them. Yeah. It's like, no, torture them and then dump their body somewhere.
I got you chocolates and a fuzzy teddy bear. I love you. I just don't think so.
But somehow it works.
Well, and I think it kind of does in the fact that it doesn't, because they find some people who end up being allies, and they're
former
like
former lover of Lorkin's, Essar.
Yes.
Essar. Okay. Again, there's no breakdown of how to pronounce these names. We're going off of how I should feel like I should pronounce phonetically. So.
Well, and yeah, she's basically like, she follows a lead for a little bit, and then she's like, yeah, cut the crap, man. Karen's not a, Karen's nobody's boyfriend. What's really going on?
Yeah. So yeah, and the encampment's here in Doranel. Okay, she's yeah. We don't know who's there, but they're there. Okay, and that's where Karen is, and yeah, it's probably where Maeve is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then they plant the secret collar that Maeve could go and find. Which, man, and I'm going to talk about this more in the second part, because man, is there's Maeve is so easily tricked on so many occasions. Not just in this part, but in the second part, it's like, dude, you're supposed to be smart.
Like, there was one part in this thing with Elide and Lorkin that I have to share. Okay, so she hadn't said anything when she'd found the white strips of linen at the bottom of Lorkin's bag, waiting for her next cycle. And I said, why are they always discussing Elide's periods? like in the first, or the first time they meet, they're on their, the road to Aelin, little misadventures. And he's like cutting strips for her cycle, for her period. And now in this one, it's just like, she finds more strips of cloth in his bag, because it's supposed to be like, oh, wow, he's really considerate. But
he went out and bought her tampons is basically what this
he made her pads. Like,
yes. Because you're right. I just noticed that, because none of the other female characters get that sort of attention to their menstrual cycles.
Yes. It's never like, and Kale on this day was feeling particularly crampy and knew that it must be her rain cycle time. Kale realized he was getting very hormonal, kind of grumpy, and his boobs hurt for no good reason.
He's getting had contractions in his intestinal lining, and he wasn't quite sure why.
But it's always about fucking Elite's periods. Like I said, I know that you're supposed to be like, that is so considerate. Aw, like she's mad at him, but he's doing these things for her, and she doesn't even have to ask. Oh, but I'm just like, stop talking about her period.
Dude, I think it's, and I really do think it's just because of the balance where like Elite's period comes up and like nobody's talking about Aelin's or Lysandra's or any nobody's sitting there. Adian's not sitting there going like, yo, I don't need you to bleed on the field, and just tosses her some rags.
Or like nobody thought that Aelin could get away, but little did they know it was her cycle and she wrote some runes in her life. Come on. Like she was just waiting for that time of the month to escape. Like, god damn it. Like but yay for Lorcan.
Yes. Trying to be sweet. I mean, to be fair, they're throughout this little party that they have formed, they're the most interesting characters to focus on, because Rowan is, you know, for all the emo-ness that Lorcan's going through, Rowan is just beside himself. He's like, just keeps sending down his mating bond, like, I'm coming for you, I'm coming for you. And he's like,
yeah.
And then only when she tries to break through the iron coffin does he finally get a sense of where she is. So it's, but he's, yeah. Again, Gabriel's is kind of playing like, I guess I'm the dad of this caravan. Wasn't my plan, but okay.
And then, like, meanwhile, like, Lorcan's like, back off my girl, you beautiful idiot. Wait, did I call her a girl? I mean, Elite. Like, I don't care, but yeah.
Yeah, anyways, so yes, Elite, they create a rumor in town that there's a caller, and that's what brings Maeve, which is how the stories end up connecting. And that's when at the same time where they sit outside the camp, they send Elite back for obvious reasons because she's not Fae, a warrior, and injured. And they decide to break in, and lo and behold, as we said, that's when Lorcan sees Aelin running through the camp.
And I believe she's naked.
It sounds like, I wasn't quite sure what was happening, because every so often, like, they give her, like, a slip, it feels like.
Yeah.
But again, it's like at this point she's, I mean, if she's a naked lady running with an iron mask, like killing everybody around her, or she's wearing a slip, it doesn't matter. She's escaping. And she runs into... That's not
something you see every day. Oh, look, she's on her cycle. Jesus. Lorcan, you got those pads.
You got those strips.
I want that scene where Lorcan just helplessly just kind of lifts up some strips.
It's the best I can do.
Forgive me. Are we coolsies?
Well, and you know, because at this time, Aelin runs into Rowan and Gabriel, but she's saying, like, you know, Fenris is back there dying, you know, and Rowan and Gabriel go to help Fenris, and Rowan says, like, Lorcan, take her back to Elide, which yeah. Probably the best option you can have. And oh, Rowan. Oh, God. Again, things I'm glad she didn't put into writing, but I'm glad this is what happened.
Yeah, but he says, take her to the Glen, a jerk of his chin to Gabriel. You're with me. With a final look toward Aelin, his frozen rage, a brewing storm on the wind, the prince and the lion were gone, charging back toward the chaotic, bloody camp.
It's the, like, lion, for everybody's reference, is Gabriel.
That beautiful idiot.
He's the lion. Yes, that beautiful, beautiful man. That androgynous.
Not androgynous. Man.
God, I misspoke. I'm tired, too.
It's kind of late, y'all.
I work hard.
She does.
Oh God, but yeah, so and Lorcan takes Aelin back to Elead, and it's again more just painful because like Elead's Aelin's trying to take her mask off, and you know it's so painful because it's like, you know, she's obviously freaking out. She knows she's kind of free, but at the same time she doesn't know what's real, and she's trying to take her mask off, and yeah, it's just really just hard to read. They do get the mask off, but after they also bring back Fenris and
and that's hard because like to go through too, because like she, you could kind of feel her struggling. She's just like fighting with it, trying to rip this mask off, and like she's kind of like tearing her nails and like just get it off me. And like you could kind of feel that like claustrophobia.
Yes. So once she's like, it's like free, not free, because it's still, and it's still a reminder of, you know, what she has just gone through. But when they do finally get it off, and they also have Fenris brought back, Aelin brings him back to life with, by offering him the blood oath so that he doesn't die, which is honestly, like, there's clearly, and as they go through the bond that Aelin and Fenris formed, it's actually kind of really sweet. I was like, oh, yeah. I know you with Rowan, but man, you two have been through a lot.
I think he's like her fill-in for Padfoot right now.
Padfoot has basically, can we just say that Padfoot has basically become the ghost of this story? When I was waiting for the end of this book, when like waiting for Padfoot to appear, I was like going like, Padfoot reappeared and he was a good dog.
That kind of was it. Like I was like, when I got, and no spoilers there, but like, when they finally mentioned Padfoot back with Aelin, I was like, oh, right, she was a thing.
She had a dog, a Dorian gave her, and she gave to Evangeline. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, dog's still okay. Yeah. But yeah, it felt so much like, you know, Ghost from Game of Thrones. Jon Snow's Dire Wolf.
Yeah.
And I'm just referencing this really funny joke they did to the end of Game of Thrones where they highlight each of the characters, and they did sort of a like almost like a Animal House type ending where they froze on them and gave them like a story, like in a continuation of what happened afterwards. And Ghost was like, Ghost rejoined Jon Snow and he was a good dog or good boy.
And I was like, yes. Oh, I love that.
I got to find that video for you and I'll send it to you. It's one of those things where it's like, they clearly also read the books and they noticed like, yeah, there's some issues with how this ended based off of the story.
I was kind of upset with that because, I mean, we had it in, what is it? I think it's the third book or might have been the second book where it kind of sounds like Padfoot's going to be part of the action. And she goes through that that portal and you know, a Valg or some creature comes back with her and like they're fighting it off, and even Padfoot's like fighting the monster, and I thought, oh cool, so Padfoot's basically part of the posse here. Okay, cool.
Nope. But
then, yeah, then disappointment. They just like wrote her off completely. It's just like, oh, but now she's gonna stay with Evangeline. And then like nothing. Evangeline's back. No word of Padfoot. Then all of a sudden at the end,
she was actually like a really terrible dog owner.
But then yeah, at the very end of it, it's just kind of like, and she was a very good girl. it's like, oh right, okay, all right, sure.
To be fair, she gets more of an ending than some other small characters that we talked about off the air. We'll talk about them later. But anyway, so back to this. So it's they get the mask off and they're all reunited, but Aelin is traumatized beyond all belief for obvious reasons. And they stumble upon the little folk that are kind of referenced throughout there. They've stayed hidden or are not out because of the ban on magic.
And they basically helped her when she was a little girl and literally running for her life. And yes. Aleed's mom helped her get away, but also the little folk saved her from dying.
Yep. And now they've saved her and kind of offered her a secure passage into their cave system that has a really cool underwater river feature.
Yes, it makes me think of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Thank you. I had the same thought. Like I was waiting for the speech as I was reading it, going like, I know it's not going to happen, but I kind of want a lunatic male to come out.
Gene Wilder.
We all need Gene Wilder every once in a while.
Oh God, that couldn't be more true.
But yeah, it's and during that time, she, Aelin is, she, you know, Rowan is sort of like, "Can I touch you?" And it's like, it's like, okay, Rowan's. I mean, Rowan's trying his best, but it's like, how do you deal with that kind of degree of trauma?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was thinking about that while reading through. Like, is she ever okay? And like, being in a situation like that, would anybody ever be okay? And like, I mean, you could be like looking at decades later, and still like. I don't know. I
wake up with nightmares.
Yeah. I guess that's, God, there's no right way to word this, but
it's severe PTSD she's going to have. I mean, it's going to be ongoing from any Search Mac event, whether it's through seeing people die in war to being exposed to horrible events in childhood or even like as an adult. It's,
yeah. Well, I was just going to say it's like one small tiny blessing that she wasn't touched, she didn't get bad touch in the adult
assault
area,
sexually assaulted, yes,
yeah, okay. In the bathing assaulted. Suit okay. Areas
but do you need me to get a doll out
in her hoo-hoo or her sissy
she wasn't sexually assaulted, no, it's
in her chony area. but yeah, because I was thinking, like, had that been like, had sexual assault been part of it as well, then like, how would she ever go back to having any sort of love life with, well, you know, intimacy, I guess, with Rowan? But then I guess that's, you know, a very serious talk for a different story.
Yes, and it didn't happen, which is a blessing. Oh, yeah. Can I just say something? Something that we kind of glossed over that I thought was really funny when as we talk about horrible things, but it's when Rowan is still searching for her and he has like a dream where he sees Aelin, and then suddenly all these like kids of different ages start popping up. And at one point, I think like they got to number 5. I was like, dude, slow down. She's not a machine. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Like, you're not Mormons. Chill out.
It's like, sorry, she has a Mormon daughter listeners. That looks just like her. And oh, there's a son that looks like me. And there's another son and another daughter. And she's got a small child in her arms. It's like,
look under your chairs. There's another baby.
It's like, all this could be mine. I'm like, dude, how you ask what she wants?
She's going to have litters.
Oh, yeah. That was the part where I was just like, oh man, dude, have you guys talked about this? Because, you know, again, maybe she's like a one and done. You don't know.
Or hell, like, she might just be like, no, I'm good. No kids for me. Thank you. Cue crying Rowan.
The anime tears were like the white.
I didn't want many, just 25.
What's our life expectancy? How many can we force in there?
Just the school bus is worth.
I wanted to start a band.
I just need enough. I just need enough for a football team. American, not the other one.
I figured we'd be the Ash Rivers and Galathiniuses. Maybe A and G for short.
We'd have a less offensive name than the Washington team had for a while.
Oh, man.
Anyways, yeah.
But yeah, so, now she's just kind of trying to like fake her swagger, and she's still like more concerned with
appearances, yeah, appearance strong.
And like, so people don't lose faith or faith in her or the fight.
Yeah, because she doesn't want, I don't think she wants anybody to try to hold her back, because she knows obviously what's coming and what's about to happen. The, yeah.
And yet again, she's not telling anybody.
Communication is just horrible with all these people. They suck at talking.
I really think that their like first couple session would be like, we're going to talk about communication today. Use your words, Aelin.
One of the things she does do is she pulls Lorcan aside and says, like, look, I can't trust you because you're a Mace in Command. So you either take the blood oath or get the fuck out of here. And he's like, well, you're not going to let me travel with you. And if I refuse, I can't be with a lead anymore. So fine.
And I think he mainly does it for a lead. And
oh, he does.
Like, he's fully aware that she's watching, and she's like, oh, he's making good, and he's taking the blood oath for her, and he doesn't have to do that. And maybe I don't hate him so much.
Nah, I do still.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they keep having fights throughout this goddamn thing. And so they decide to go to Annalee, where Aaron's, which is where Kale and Yurine, along with all of the warriors, like of that Caution lead. So they're all heading towards Annalee to do this big, huge, epic battle, because they know that that's where part of Erwin's forces are going.
Which really sucks, because like we won't go into it yet, but like meanwhile, Lysandra and Adian. Where they're holed up, basically, it's like
they're in nightmare territory.
yeah, they're in like full nightmare, cry yourself to sleep, like, or you're not getting any sleep because you're gonna die tomorrow sort of territory. And like, I think like in that part in the book, you're just like, no, go to them.
Yeah, no, they're the story where like when Kale, they kept going back to it, I was like, okay, dude.
Because yeah. Like that was getting so frustrating, because like with Game of Thrones, Saga of Ice and Fire, I stopped reading after a while, because you know, every chapter is told from a certain character's perspective, and I got so fucking tired of the Bran chapters. Like, you would not.
I was gonna say it was Bran. Believe. It was Bran, wasn't it?
Bran and Catelyn. I was just like, oh god damn it. And and this book was kind of getting like that in certain parts, where you're just like, no, I don't want to fucking hear about Kale and urine.
Urine.
No, go back. And then you finally get to this point where, like, well, and of course, like you were saying, you get to that point of like where she's, Aelin's still being tortured, and you're like, fucking go back to that. No. But then you get to this point, I think it's like toward the end of the first part, where you're like, oh no. Let's focus on Lysandra and Adian now, because they're gonna die.
Yes.
Then you find yourself being like, no, don't go away from them.
Yeah, and I understand the Game of Thrones. I always thought that Game of Thrones did, or A Song of Ice and Fire books did it a lot more smoother, where yes, there was a question of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Bran was obviously the one where it was just his chapters were so good.
But I wanted to be a knight. I'll never like, even, be like, a knight.
I didn't argue that Caitlin at least had some interesting points and perspectives going through, especially with some of her choices that she made. Yeah, but we're not talking about A Song of Ice and Fire.
In the first book, it's like, and I fucking hate, I hate John. Fucking John. Like, he's not my kid. Fuck that kid.
Oh yeah, no, she's an awful person to, you know, John. I'm not saying that she's not the bad person. I'm just saying that from a storytelling perspective, she was, there were interesting parts to her story.
Yeah, it wasn't as nearly as bad as Bran. But goddamn Bran.
Someday we will cover those books because obviously, yes, there's a lot of sorcery stuff. No, we will. We will. I like these books. I as I always say, I await George R. R. Martin to finish them, and I respect the time that he needs to take in order to finish them so that they are well written.
Just like me with Patrick Rothfuss.
You and my husband.
Come on, Pat.
Anyways, so they decide to go to Anley and they travel through the caves. And during that time, it's actually kind of cool because the little folk that they're traveling with present her with the crown of Mab, her ancestral crown, which is really cool. They also, speaking of her swagger, it just reminded me, they find a cave with a bunch of treasure.
Oh, yes!
They just start looting the shit out of it.
Yes. And then I think it was the lead who was just kind of like, can we do that? I mean,
are they using it? Would be my reaction.
Then Aelin's just like throwing shit in her pockets and she's like, come on, guys.
Well, she also finds like wedding rings for her and Rowan to have. She's like, oh, look, this looks like a ring. Good. And this one's for you. And now we're married.
She stayed behind because the ship was not stopping. And so I think Aelin stayed on the ship, but everybody else like that went after, I think Lorcan stayed with her, but Gavriel and Fenris.
She's just like, we're going to need money to pay our way.
And like, hey, you find any loot that you think is big ticket items? Let's do this thing. And then she's like, they're like, okay, well, we got to catch the ship again. So let's go. And she's like, yeah, I'll catch up with you. Meanwhile, she's picking out some goddamn rings.
Will you be mine? This is my promise ring. I pulled it off of a corpse, so don't mind the, you know, sinew and stuff on it.
It's something about a curse, but we'll care about that later.
The engraving on the inside says to my darling Candy.
I love that that's who you pull, the name you pull out.
Oh, I've been watching too much Red Dwarf.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Anyways, they do make it finally to the coast. Lorcan swears the blood oath and everything. And, you know, they begin training again because, you know, Aelin's sort of like, I'm weak and I can't do this and I need to train. And Rose is like, okay. And they do finally make love again, you know. Ooh. Yeah, and of course they go, this is one of the things where they get the most graphic sex scenes. Like Rowan and Aelin get the most graphic sex scenes. Like everybody else is like, and they did it and they're good. We'll explain other ones later as they come up, but yes, I don't want to spoil
steamy
those
steamy with Kaol
and
Dorian, but I mean,
Mandorian and then Kaol. It's in there are certain book chapters, but most of the time it's not quite, it doesn't feel as like tree breaking, which I have a lot to say about that later, but that comes later. Anyways, but so they make their way, and then we can move on to where Kaol and the Coggins army, and they're all Kaol and Yireen are traveling with healers to go and go to Annalie to save Kale's, you know, home, save his homeland. Yeah, which Kale gets reunited with his dad.
And the it's a very warm welcome. They have a good hug. And say, son, I missed you so much. And he goes,
I'm sorry I threw you down the stairs. Kale's dad sucks is another way of putting this.
Yeah.
Although let's I got to bring up the one thing. Because remember back when we were reading Tower of Dawn and Kale and Yurine had made that bond and everything and they were going to be husband and wife. And said out loud, you know what would really suck? If like she got pregnant and then she died in childbirth and then Kale would end up dying and then they would and then this bae would be an orphan. Like don't tell me anybody if that happens in the last book because I haven't read it yet. And then I'm just saying it would really, really suck. And what happens in the first couple chapters of their time? Yurine's like, she's holding her hand to her stomach and I just yell, oh, for fuck's sakes.
Oh man, I even had a note about that. It was she didn't tell the healer on high that she wasn't entirely sure how much longer she'd be of help. Not yet. Hadn't whispered a word of that doubt to anyone, even Kale. Irene's hand drifted across her abdomen and lingered. And I put the note, bah, someone's baking an emo baby.
Yeah, all I wrote down was, all I said to myself was, oh, for fuck's sakes.
I called it a blue healer.
I was just like, if she dies at the end of this book, then I'm going to be royally pissed off that that was the end. Because, like, I didn't want that to be the plot point, but it's like, of course she's the first one to fall pregnant.
Yeah.
Anyways, yes. Although what's really great is, as much as Kale's father lacks in empathy, he immediately notices that Yurine's pregnant.
Yes!
Like, your wife's pregnant. It's like,
yeah, it's like everybody but fucking Kale knows. Like, they're all like... Elide is helping her out with the healing and with what she can, basically helping run like a medical ward, and she's like, "Oh, hey, you're pregnant." She's like, "Yeah, I'm not telling anybody yet." And fucking Kale's dad's like, "Oh, your woman's pregnant," and it's like, for fuck's sake, Kale, like, how do you not know this? Do you not make her pads for her cycle?
Clearly not. He hasn't had to in a while.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I noticed the other day? You haven't been using my white linen strips lately. What's up with that? Explain the pregnancy
not
like
a laundry
Kale
to do as normal.
Oh, the Harvey of Throne of Glass.
The Harvey of the Throne of Glass.
Oh, fucking Kale. Oh, man.
Oh, yes. Anyway, so yes, they are Kale and Yurine and the healers and the Coggin and Hoser. I really want to say her name is Hazar because honestly it just sounds better than how it's Hoser. Written and pronounced.
Yeah, Hoser. Yes,
and Kashin and Nessarin are all there to fight with their mounts and everything, so they're ready to, and Kale also tells is basically saying up to his dad, you know, finally after being kicked out and finding out that his mom and his brother have left him and abandoned him to their cold.
And he finds out that he'd been writing to his mom for so long, but now he finds out that the reason why she wouldn't write back to him was not because she was ashamed or anything like that, or she disowned him, but because Diddy's been hiding them.
Like entire like letters. Trunk or chest of like all the letters that she's written, that he's written, and she didn't know that he was writing to her also. So it's he is asshole dad of the year so far. Yeah. Of all the, I think we can sometimes name asshole parents, and he so far is up there with the bad asshole parents that we've read about.
And Manon's grandma. Like, I think that, like, yeah, they might make a good couple.
Bad grandma, bad dad.
Bad dad.
This is not the dad who's going to take you to your little league games and cheer you on. He's the one who's going to abuse you and say you can't hit during the entire game and get thrown out by the coaches. Yes. And get thrown out by the coaches for being an uncooperative parent.
And probably call you a sissy all the same time. But he's like, he is being so fucking annoying because beside being a bad dad, he's also like, I don't need any help. Like, my little village doesn't need any help. Thank you very much. We're just fine.
And we can't feed all these people who are coming here to save my life.
Yes. The keep is held up this long. We've got nothing to be afraid of.
Except for that big, huge dam breaking and possibly drowning everybody.
Yeah, we're just fine. Look, it's a very puny tsunami. I wouldn't even call it a tsunami. It's more like a ripple. Yeah, he's like, yeah, the whole fucking time. They're like, no, see, the big bad's coming. He's going to kill y'all. And we've got to do something about it. And he's like, fuck off out of here. Like, I'm fine. Thank you. I don't need your help. Like, yeah, he's really fucking good.
Well, and you're into a credit is getting up in his face, basically being like, oh, yeah, where the fuck do you get off?
Honestly, and I like, think Kale's, he kind, like, of respects her for it.
Oh, yeah. Like, because Kale's is sort of like, damn, I can say that? Wait, that works?
Like, I've never seen this before. But yeah.
Anyway, so it's, and they're, you know, they're planning for their battle, and Nesrin and Kashin, who've become lovers. Oh, and Kashin's just like, you're gonna be my empress. And she's just like, I am. I'm sorry. I mean, she does agree later on, but yeah, it's definitely that reaction of, like, I kind of liked being a warrior woman, too, but okay.
Yeah, for Nesrin, because, like, okay, I get that she's, like, falling for him, but, and we're going to talk about this more toward the end of the book, because she gets fucking stiffed, man. But, like, I find that, like, men in her life keep kind of telling her what she's going to do and dictating her life.
Oh, and I'm sorry, not Kashin. That was the one who was borderline obsessed with Yureen for just, yeah, like that brief moment. Sartak.
Yeah.
Sartak's the one who's, yeah, my bad. I've been saying that the wrong thing. So, yeah, Sartak's the one who's all like, you're going to be my empress. It's like, hey.
Oh, good, because I didn't have any other plans.
Yeah, I didn't train for years to become captain, yeah, of the guard and hone this, like, amazing skill that, like, most women in my state and my station don't have. So, suppose, yeah, totally.
You want me to have a bunch of babies too, huh? Yeah, that's, mm-hmm, cool. That's cool. Okay. I had no aspirations for my life. It's cool.
Anyways, but yeah, but they're scouting on, on their mounts and everything, and Holzer's there, being herself. So, yeah. But so then they are able to keep back the forces. It seems like for, like, maybe the first day, or at least they, doing their best, because they realize that there's, like, a, practically a mountain of the Vog and the Vog soldiers and everything coming at them. And that's when Aelin and everybody starts to show up.
Yeah, and because all like, I think Sartak and Nezrin go off as a, like on a sort of recon mission. Yeah. And he said, like, I can't believe it, but at one point I was thinking, like, if worse comes to worse, it looks like we're all gonna die, then I would just release the dam and destroy the dam and whatever and take them all out with us. And then
including the people of my own community. Yeah. Dad, Kale's dad said he would do that.
Yeah, but then I think Sartak said, like, when he was thinking that if it turned and it looked like they were all gonna die, but then he says, like, you know, I think it's like the next day, he's like, bad news. We were doing really well, and apparently they had the same idea as I did.
Oopsie doodle.
Oh, we're all gonna drown.
Yeah, basically while they're fighting down in the area that's the ravine. But yeah, before we get to that, yes, that's after Aelin and all of them arrive. And speaking of looting, Aelin and their little crew go in and loot the armory of Kale's dad. And he looks at Gwen like, yes. I see you made your way to the armory. She's like, yeah.
We don't have like any. gold chest plate. and she's actually late to the battle because she's like, she wants to make a grand entrance, so she gets something real shiny.
Shiny.
But yeah, the dad's like, that looks familiar.
Well, he says it after they've won for the first day. And he's like, I see you got into my armory. It's like, and Kale's like, dude, dad, we saved our asses. Fuck off.
Yeah. Once again, his dad's being a bit of a ball sack there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and also, this is where when they reunite, Aelin and Kale, Aelin finally reunites with Yurine. It's like, oh, I remember you from years ago. Like, you became a healer and you became you.
Yay!
And then of course they finally reveal, because Kale knew that Mae was Vlog.
Yeah.
Or Vlog. And finally they tell Aelin, and obviously, like, all of the Fey males are just sort of like, we drink Vlog blood. There's probably a lot of puking later on. Let's put it that way. There's probably a lot of puking.
Lorcan starts throwing up, and then Gabrielle's like, no, don't, no, I'm gonna. And then Ron's like, come on, guys, stop.
They start buying bottles of Epicac.
And then once again, you've got all these Fae in the tent, and they're like, hey, you know your woman's pregnant, right?
Kale's just like,
do-do-do-do-do.
Totally knew all along. I was just letting her wait to tell me.
I wasn't surprised. What are you talking about? You're surprised. Your mom surprised. Damn it. Okay.
Well, and
sweet precious. Yeah,
so they and they do go into battle, and Aelin's just mowing everybody down, and so is Rowan, and so is Gabriel, and Lorcan's being Lorcan again. And he's just like, well, and of course, Elite and Lorcan have like that huge fight that everybody has before somebody's about to go off to war.
Yeah.
Where Elite says, like, well, I don't even care if you die. And he's like, fine, I don't care if you care if I die. I'm just going.
I don't care about like, you, so
yeah. And so he goes and he's like, well, I'm just going to go on a murder spree. It's like, okay.
Which, I mean, you know, who's to say it's not really therapeutic and cathartic? I mean,
yeah, but
I would think so.
But he kind of gets a little away from the group and just starts going crazy, and he ends up getting stabbed in the stomach, and Elide realizing, she's like, when everybody else comes back but not Lorca, and she's like, where is he? She steals Kale's horse that he got.
Yeah, but like, meanwhile she's like, hey Fenris, you can totally, you know, like just appear there, right? Like, you could take me to him in a flash, or you could go get him in a flash, right? And he's like, I don't want to use my power. Ever since being Elena, like, tortured, I don't want to use my power. And she's like, but Lorcan's going to die. And he's like, let him die anyway.
Like, I'm just pissed.
And everybody else is kind of like, just kind of shrugging.
Well, it's like, well, where do they find him? I mean, they even say that, like, the dam's going to break. They have no idea where he's at because he's just disappeared into the crowd of Volg and other soldiers. So it's like, we don't even know where to begin. Like, he wants to run around in a place where the water is about to you know, burst forth and possibly die. So she gets on, she steals Kale's horse and rides him off into the battlefield and starts screaming out, like, Lorcan's name with that thought that says, like, I will find you over and over and over again.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, because, like, they made that promise in the,
they will always find each other.
Yeah, and that was, like, you know, I hate to say, cause, like, the whole time I was just like, fucking stop pairing off all the goddamn characters. Like, you don't have to pair everybody off. Like, you know, like, it's fine to have single characters. But I have to admit that this one got me. Like, this was very, very, very satisfying. And like, when they finally, you know, are in a place where they can profess their love, and Carlo was even curious about what I was reading, because I was going, whoa. And I've got the part here. It was like, there's this huge thing where he's saying, like, he hadn't deserved her anyway. She deserved a life of peace and happiness. He didn't know such things. Had thought he'd glimpsed them during the months they traveled together before everything went to hell, but now he knew he was not meant for anything like it. But this battlefield, this death song around him, this he could do, this he could savor. And then, like, she's going out looking for him, and it says his name on her lips had been a summons he could never deny, even when death had held him so gently, nestled beneath all those he'd felled and waited for his last breaths. So he's like, he's literally like in a dog pile here of like dead bodies that he's left around him, and he's been stabbed and dying himself. And she finds him, and she whispers that she loves him, and said he was glad he was lying down. The words would have knocked him to his knees. Even now, he was half inclined to bow before her, the true owner of his ancient, wicked heart. I have loved you, she went on, from the moment you came to fight for me against Vernon and the Ilkin. The light in her eyes stole his breath. And when I heard you were somewhere on that battlefield, the only thing I wanted was to be able to tell you that. It was the only thing that mattered. And I was like,
oh, that's what got to you? Oh, man. I don't even want to explain what got to me later on, because it comes much later.
Well, and she's, you know, being the fucking badass that Elide is, like, she's got this broken body, but she's still, like, she gathers.
She's trying to haul him up onto the horse, and he's trying to fight her.
Yes.
Because he's like, no, I don't want you to die. And
yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm going to be responsible for you dying if you try to save me. And you're like, go run, save yourself. And she's like, bitch, shut up and help me.
Get on the horse, because I'm not leaving you, so you might as well. And he's like, no, I'll slow down the horse. I was like, get on the goddamn horse.
Yes. And then he's trying to get, like, to slide off of the horse.
And he's like, no.
She's like, oh, hell no.
I'm going to fall down with you. And the horse is the strong wild horse that Kale got. So the horse is actually, you know, fighting their way back. But even they know that they may not make it. And Aelin sees them like flying, like, you know, running, and Rowan and everybody's like, they don't know how they're going to make it. They're watching everybody try to run away from the rising water. And
yeah, the Aelin does big ass wave, tsunami's coming for them. And they're just like, oh my God, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. And that the horse is fucking badass. And I think like they even go into how it was fate that Kale picked that horse, and that horse was right there at that time, and that she was able to ride it. And anyway, yeah, it looks like they're about to die.
Yeah, and Aelin's getting worried because she doesn't obviously want her friends or her, you know, anybody she cares about to die. And she has been saying this because, like, when she was in the cave, she had to go, like, she a couple things back when she was released, she was glowing. And she had to go and release some of her power that's been kind of trapped. So she gets into the water in that cave. She basically let go of some fire and some water, because she's just sort of like, I'm going to burn anybody who touches me right now, is what it sounds like. And she's been hoarding this power to use against Maeve. That's been her plan.
Well, and I think that was one of her concerns when she was being held captive. And they knew that, because like, if she did not release this power, she was literally, it was going to literally burn her alive.
Mm-hmm. And she uses it to basically vaporize the oncoming water and save everybody. Mm-hmm. So she sacrifices this power that she's sitting there going like, I am saving this from Maeve. I am saving this from Maeve. Like, I released what I needed to so I didn't blow up, but I'm saving this from Maeve. I'm saving this from Maeve.
And she's going to be all One Punch Man. She's like, I'm saving this for the boss fight.
All I'm thinking is like, look, I've got this overdrive and I don't want to use on these puny little, you know, little enemies. I'm waiting for the boss fight.
But then, yeah. So she's like, ah, fuck. All right. Like, I'll save the people. God damn it. So she goes out there and she kind of like turns it to steam while Rowan's like, well, baby, I can't let you go out there alone. And he's like, you know, trying to turn some of it into like the wind to evaporate it.
To move it away. Yeah. And they're all trying. Now they finally are like, oh, yeah, I guess if it leads down there, maybe we should try to help.
Yeah, fuck Lorcan, but like a lead.
Because he feels like Fenris is kind of like, oh, yeah, she's down there. Maybe I should. God damn it.
I like her. Damn it.
She's a
God damn it.
Idiot.
I had to love Lorcan. God damn it. All right. But I'm not going to apparate. I draw the line.
Yeah, and they make it back, and there's obviously some disappointment because Aelin was obviously trying to save that, as you said, to be One Punch Man.
Yeah. But now they're like, oh, fuck. Well, now what are we going to do?
Yeah, it's like, oh, now we actually have to battle her.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
But turns out that you can trick her with a, you know, potential collar that doesn't exist. There's other options, and we're not going to get into that just yet because, my God. I have so many commentary on the next two people, on the next two main character sets, and also the second part of the story. But yes, it's a big celebration, and that's when Kashin also arrives with his forces, and him and Hozar and Satik will go to Terrasen with Aelin. To go and help Adian and Lysandra, or at least meet the battle there. And then Kael basically overrules his father and says, like, no, like, there are these people living in the mountains who you took away their land from, and I'm giving them back their land so they can guide the goddamn armies.
Through, and so we can get to like, freaking. That's my land. Stop it's at like, his feet. Fuck. Like, God damn it. And I should say that during this time, also turning into a very lusty Lorcan.
Yeah, yes,
there
very much so.
There are doings in the horizon, like.
Oh yeah. Well, Yurin, they heal Lorcan and Elite, and he's sort of like, "We love you. We love each other. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you most. No, I love you most."
But he's like, "I'm not gonna have sex with her until she's ready." It's like, "Okay, dude, that's good.
Yay, consent."
Yeah, and like she's like, now she's getting like a lady boner full on for him, and she's like, "Oh, I want
to
do."
Yeah, they're sleeping in bed next to each other, but not sleeping together.
Yes.
He's like, "I can kiss her."
Yeah, and I've even got the quote of like, "Sleep only," Lorcan said, not bothering to hide the heat rising in his stare. For now, until she was ready, until she told him, showed him she wished to share everything with him, that final claiming. But until then, he wanted her here, sleeping at his side where he might watch over her as she had watched over him. That's really sweet, except for that one red flag of the final claiming. That might not be as romantic as you think it sounds.
No. He's made a little Lorcan flag. Climb Mount Elite.
Mine.
Everybody saw it. I touched it. It's mine.
I have a flag. But I think that's probably a good place to stop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's like one quote that I did want to kind of get to, because I think it's back when Rowan and Aelin are, traveling, and Aelin is, trying to, like, they've gone past the underground cave, and, she's going like, "Okay, I want to train. I want to do this. I want to do that." And Rowan's like, "You need to eat." And she's like, "No, I need to train." And it's not a quote, but it's from the book, and says she couldn't stop it, that need to do something, to be in motion. And I understand that from stuff that, from me personally going through things, I understand that completely. And I still am stuck in that, where it's like, if I'm not doing something, then I start to live with my thoughts.
Yeah,
and
totally.
That sometimes gets really dark. So I was like, that really touched me in a way where I was like, oh yeah, I get that feeling. I clearly have never been through something as bad as what she went through, but it's like, I understand that emotion, that need to not stop, to not quit moving, or else like suddenly it's like, oh, now I'm alone with my brain and that's not good.
I totally felt it too. Like for me, I know it's not on the same, nearly on the same level, but like I was thinking about like when I lost my dad, and like after Carlo, my dad was my most favorite person in the world, and so like there was a time where it's like I have to keep doing stuff, and like my work was offering me a longer time for bereavement, and I was like, you know what. Like before this, I would have loved having time off. That's, wouldn't have been a problem for me, but I need to work right now. I need to do something. And like, I got some cleaning done, and cause I couldn't eat. I couldn't do silence, and I couldn't do just sitting there, because like you were saying, like he was being alone with my thoughts, and that was not a place where I wanted to be, or like I felt like I could handle at the time.
Yeah, I'm one of those people where like yoga is the last thing you want me to
do. Oh yeah.
Like I was like, oh, it's so relaxed, and you find yourself. I'm like, no, I do not need to do that. Trust me, it is not relaxing. It is just a bad time for me. It's give me something to lift. I will do that, because then I can focus on something else. Just sit there and like be with my thoughts. It's like, no, don't.
The hypermobility and possible Elder Stanlos aside, like, even then, like I've got ADD, so like this shit's really hard, and I've
tried meditating for so many, you know, so many different times and for so long. And sometimes in those rare moments, I'm doing just fine. But then most of the time, it's like, I wonder what I should have for lunch.
Oh, right. Meditating. Did I feed the dog?
meditating.
Hey, I should take up lock picking. I've been wanting to learn that for so long. God damn it.
Got six more languages to learn.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's kind of where we're leaving off. Next time, we are definitely going to cover Adie and Lysandra, the very, very interesting parts of that book, and obviously Manon and Dorian, the other very interesting. We kind of led with the ones where it was a little bit harder in spots to get through, mm-hmm. I think, because, well, not only do these, the reason I also wanted to set it up this way is because they end up combining their stories a lot sooner than Adie and Lysandra, and Dorian and Manon. They take a little bit longer to get to the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
But also, like, those were the times when it's like, okay, sometimes you're revealing some really cool things, but other times I'm just like, okay, and back to Dorian and Manon. Back to Dorian and Manon. Back to Adie and Lysandra. Back to Adie and Lysandra. Yeah. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, once you start, like, actually enjoying one of their storylines, like, and you're really, really invested, then that's when she switches it up on you and you're like, God damn it! And like, oh, let me take a look at what the next chapter is going to be. Ah, God damn it, it's a Bran chapter.
How'd Bran get into this book?
Exactly. Like, when do we get back? But then the next thing you know, you're like actually finally getting into them. And then you get back to Aelin or whatever. And it's just like, God damn it.
Anyway, so yes, that's where we're going to head. That's where we're heading next week. So our next 2 weeks,
episode,
I should say. Yeah. I clearly have no idea how often our shows release. I say that out loud. I'm just like, 2 weeks. Yes.
Well, I have been kicking around an idea for a mini-sode. So we might have an episode next week. Let's find out.
Sounds good.
Let's flash forward into the future.
I think I can make a prediction. It's not a judgment on you.
Except it totally is.
Realistic expectations is my middle name. Say,
In the meantime, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Apple Podcasts. And remember, you can find Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Twitter at Broomflicks. And you can write to us at broomflicks@gmail.com. Remember, that's BROOMFLICKS. And you can check out our show at bedknobsandbroomflicks.com. Because I know there's a lot of weird spelling there. Like with broomflicks, you know, that's hard enough as it is. But then bedknobs, you got BEDKNOBS because goddamn English language. But if that's too hard to remember, I totally get you. You could just go to cageskiss.com, CAGESKISS.com. And that's going to take you to the landing page where you can go to bedknobsandbroomflicks.com from there.
She's trying to push Cage on you guys. Just be aware. She's just trying to push Cage on you.
We're kind of not really around so much anymore. We have...
Pusher.
We do have one episode coming up whenever we can decide to get together and record. But
hey, I did tell you that if he does end up playing Dracula on the Renfield show, I will watch that with you. Because I'm goddamn curious.
He's been wanting to do it for like his whole life, so I'm so here.
He also wanted to play Superman, so I mean, come on, what are we looking at?
I really want to see that.
But, I'm not surprised.
Last but not least, you could, if you'd like to help support us and a local bookstore while purchasing a book or movie, please purchase through our affiliate page at bookshop.org/shop/broomflicks.
And I know we keep talking about it, but we really are going to have a Patreon someday soon. And also, if you,
I think that's more my fault, just because I always feel like we need to have something to offer before we release anything, and then I get freaked out. So,
and I'm just like, let them eat cake. But also, you could go to our page on Anchor. .com, and you could help support us there as well, although it doesn't have all the goodies like Patreon will, although it, you will get the warm and fuzzy feeling of having supported these poor podcasters. You could find me back on the amazing podcast Cage's Kiss eventually. I know we covered Pig, and soon we're going to be covering Prisoners of the Ghostland. God damn it. You could tell how I feel about that. Also, you could
really
check
your emotional outburst just now kind of tells me so little.
Yeah.
One of his winning movies, one of his many displays of his great talents and everything.
I will say that I am very upset about having to watch it again. And if I could find some sort of Cliff Notes way to go through it, then all the better.
Just remember, you did this to yourself.
I know. But Pig was good. Pig was great. Like, Pig, totally worth rewatching. But anywho, you could also check me out in the second season of the podcast sitcom Four's a Crowd, where I play Mrs. Halverson. And Jane, where can the people find you?
You can find me trying to complete gold every day of the this for the month of March in the puzzle page.
It's
true. They are not advertising with us, but the Puzzle Page app is a lot of fun if you like math and word puzzles. So yes, my goal is gold 100% entire month of March.
Thanks to Jane telling me about this, because I already have like subscriptions to the logic and math puzzle magazines from Penny Dell or Penny Press Dell. Yeah. And like she told me about that, and I'm like, you mean while Carlo's asleep and the lights are off, I could still play? I could still puzzle. Yes.
And there's like 9 or 10 puzzles a day you can work with.
So at night, when everybody should be sleeping, I'm figuring out Nerdle, Quirtle, Wordle, Wordle 2, and playing on puzzles app. So, like, I mean, but yay,
I did finally convince Linda to read the trilogy book series that I read as a teenager that I fell in love with. And we've decided that, yes, we will be covering at some point the Forbidden Game trilogy, which is a lot shorter than this.
Thank God.
That's what all three books are shorter than Kingdom of Ash, I think.
I think that's the main reason I'm in no hurry to do Ice and Fire, because I'm like, oh, but the size of those goddamn books.
They're so good.
I know.
They're so well written.
Anyway, I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Redwire Blackwire for allowing us to use their song Compass.
And as I said before, next episode, we will definitely be covering the second half of the characters in the first part of the Kingdom of Ash book. This will definitely be a four-parter. We are trying to keep these episodes at an hour and a half, and we are all pretty much at that mark right now, because we don't want to torture you people that much.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But, commentary should not last the entire length of reading that book.
And until then, what's that got to do with my knob?